going on, everybody? Bear Chris Flicky here alongside Jeff Schwartz. What are we going to call this? Like the UFL minute or like the UFL short? We got to give this a little specific title. It is technically the Bear Bets podcast, but you kind of got the UFL weekly here. We just kind of rip through in a quick format, just a couple of things in the UFL that might stand out this week. Obviously, four games this weekend: DC, Arlington, Birmingham, Memphis, Michigan, Houston, and St. Louis, San Antonio. The big one, obviously, there Saturday night with Birmingham hosting Memphis. Birmingham just got a two-time spring football champion, right?
Yes.
Straight win, getting back to last year. Skip Holtz building a spring football dynasty, Jeff.
I love to see it. You know, I'll tell you what, Bear. I know this, you know, we've condensed the leagues down to one now, and the action is a lot better with just eight teams, all the players playing on sort of these squads. And we see each week the improvement, just like we see in the NFL or college football from week one to week two. And then week three, I would imagine we get a huge jump because this is sort of when guys start getting comfortable and get used to, you know, the game speed. And we should see, in my opinion, a lot of improvement from squads that have struggled a little bit heading into week three.
And it's been kind of interesting so far, because so far we've seen a ton of like fourth quarter comebacks in ridiculous fashion with the onside kick replacement rules and team standing games. And of course, week one, you had the fake punt. So it's been maybe the games have started off slow, but the second halves have been pretty wild.
If every week had an offensive lineman catching a touchdown on a trick play, it would be the best league in all of sports. So we need to push Bear for a more offensive lineman catching touchdown passes in the UFL.
Did you ever have one?
No, I had a 3-yard carry in college, and I had a 16-yard kickoff return in the NFL. I did go out for routes. You know, they had that jumbo tight end position sometimes on goal line and third down and whatnot, fourth down. I've gone out on passes. It's much harder than it looks. It looks like, hey, you're just running a route. How hard can it be? It's a lot harder than you think. I was not open. I was a decoy, Bear. The defense went to me. Someone else was open. But not only did that young man catch the football, he then ran like 10 yards and basically broke a tackle to score a touchdown. So it wasn't just the catch. It was the run to make it happen. So look, I think that the UFL definitely embraces the creativity of finding different ways to move the ball down the field. And I love that the league is willing to go in that direction.
Let's see your big size 15s out there tripping over themselves. You're trying to backpedal out there for a route.
Give me a little credit. I can move a little bit. My size 18s, by the way, Bear. I can move a little bit enough to make it happen. I'll send you the video of my 3-yard carry. It's impressive. You know, I have the most yards for an Oregon right tackle in school history. Okay. There we go. 3 yards. One carry, 3 yards.
I'll have to remind Chip of that the next time I see him. Did he call the play specifically for you?
No. What happened was the play was, this is, again, the first iteration of sort of the zone read offense. It was Chip Kelly's first year as OC, and Dennis was, it was a zone to the right with the option to pull the ball and run an option to the left. So it was like an inside zone, right option left. We called it rope, right read option. And Dennis pulled the ball and then started to run, but realized he made the wrong decision. There was a defensive end in his face. So he ran back the other direction to the right. He ran like to the zone run, right? And so I blocked my guy out, and he was kind of coming back into the play. And so I was following him back in the play. Dennis saw a defender in front of him, and because it was the play where you have the option to pitch the ball, he pitched the ball to me. He thought I was like his option guy. He went the wrong direction. And I caught the football, took about 3 steps, got tackled from behind, got 3 yards. After the game, Chip joked that that was a sign we were going to win because I didn't fumble. It's against USC. USC was top 10 at that time, in the Pete Carroll era in 07, and we ended up winning that game. I didn't fumble. Number one thing, I caught the ball, Bear, and did not fumble for my 3-yard carry. I'm very proud of that day.
Very, very good. You'll never be confused for Kenyon Barner or D'Anthony Thomas.
No, I will not be, no.
Of that. But yeah, we talked about the Birmingham, and that's obviously the big game on Fox this weekend. Birmingham is 7-point favorite against Memphis, and we know Birmingham is the class of the year with the winning streak getting back to last year. But I don't know how, if you have an opinion here. I think laying 7 is a little bit steep against a Memphis team that very easily could be 2-0. The Showboats are obviously on the wrong end of the San Antonio comeback. And if you look at the way Memphis has played so far, Case Cookus and that offense have really done a good job controlling the ball. And they had the ball for over 39 minutes against Houston in the win, and then over 36 minutes last week when they lost late in that dramatic fashion against San Antonio. So I think they're 1-1, probably a little bit desperate, a little bit angry after giving that game away last week. So I'm going to take Memphis here plus the 7 against the reigning champs.
I like the under in this game, Bear, which leads me to believe that the 7's probably the way to go, right? If you like the under in this game. Birmingham has a 2-quarterback system, which I don't terribly love at any level of football. They're second to last in passing. They're last in completion percentage at only 50%, and they run the ball well with both quarterbacks. It ends up being sort of a clock-churning type of offense. And defensively, they're good as well. I mean, look, the good team we talked about earlier. They've won, you know, spring league now 2 years in a row. And so I think the under is the play here. If I see less points than the 7 is too many for Memphis. So I'm with you there on the 7 points. But I got like the under. Look, the unders have been hitting a lot. We know that. This is a not a large number, but a decent number of 41. We know that could be a key number at times, Bear. So I'm going to go under here. Again, both offenses, I think, are going to be a little bit tampered down this game.
Yeah, well, Birmingham's going with like the dual.
I hate it, dude. Martinez, I don't like it.
Matt Corral. So, two names that college football fans are certainly familiar with. And the second game, San Antonio is kind of a miracle 2-0. They take on St. Louis, the Battle Hawks, a 1-point favorite in this game. Brahma's just kind of been living right this year. You beat DC on that fake punt trick play, a miracle comeback last week with, 12 points in the last 50 seconds behind, Pac-12 legend Chase Garbers.
There we go. Oh, yeah.
Quarterback. But at some point, you'd think that the breaks ultimately aren't going to go their way. I think they're going to have to deal with H.G. McCarron and an efficient Battlehawk offense. Marcel Aitman, certainly a big play type wide receiver. I mean, they're a 64-yard field goal. They're themselves from being a 2-0. So, Battlehawks, short number. I laid 1 with St. Louis this week.
So, Bear, I'm going to make you guess this, okay? San Antonio's third down conversion on offense through 2 weeks. They've had 19 third down attempts. What are you going with the percentage?
Well, I'm going to say just because of their record. I'm going to say it's insanely high. I'm going to say they're 14 of 19 on third down.
According to the UFL.com, the official website of the UFL, they are 4 of 19. They're 21%. So
exactly opposite, which actually makes sense.
Yeah, third down. But they're doing well on fourth down, which sort of eventually, typically you get better on third down a little bit. Fourth down comes back to earth. So to your point about being 2-0, but only converting 21% of your third down opportunities, that eventually is going to end, right? Like, and I look at this game too, and I hate to go back to the under here, it's 42. And you look at even San Antonio's offense. St. Louis is 6th, though. They're 32% on third down. So you have both offenses here that don't convert third downs. And that leads me to, again, to go to the under unless we see a lot of defensive scoring here. But your point about San Antonio sort of living on the edge, look, again, you would see teams typically that are winning football games being able to move the ball a little bit better and being able to make plays, and they haven't been able to do that. So I think St. Louis is certainly the play here. And again, I hate to go back to the under, but I think under is certainly in play in this game.
No, a majority of these games have gone under, with the exception of the under that I gave out last week, the Battle Hawks win, which 27-24, which went over the 41.5, unfortunately. But I think in the trying to remember if that was one of the Super 6 questions last week and how we did, but those we're going to be back as well with another Super 6 column in the next day or so prior to the game. And make sure you hop on the site and Super 6 free, like I said, kind of that combination of gambling and fantasy where you get to answer some questions. And if you're right, you win some cash prizes. I'll have some thoughts out there for the Super 6 this week coming up. Like I said, on the website, so make sure you check it out. I'm sure it'll be tweeted out as well. So everybody enjoys the week three of the UFL. Like I said, it's been fun, exciting, been drama filled with some comebacks, and hopefully games this weekend have more of that in store. Make sure you continue to check us out on the Bread Bets podcast on the YouTube channel, and appreciate you downloading, rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you see your podcast. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.